Well, I sure hope everybody had a great 4th of July. I hope everything went well and everything was good and according to plan. I hope that you barbecued, that it came out well, came out good. But some of you, maybe just a restful day. Well, that's good. That's good. So I hope everything went well for you that day. I want you, if you would you please turn to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Genesis, Exodus, the second book in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 2, talking about Moses. Moses. Look at starting with verse 1. It says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bore a son. When she saw him that he was goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to witness what would be done to him." Here we see Moses. His father was Amram. His mother was Jochebed. And they were both from the tribe of Levi. Remember, there were 12 different tribes that God had set up with the children of Israel. And the tribe of Levi was a priestly tribe. That means that's where all the priests would come from. That's where the leaders of the spiritual leaders would come from. They had to come from that tribe. And so God would call out from that tribe. And really, it's just a group of people, but God had set them, the different tribes. And so from that tribe, the tribe of Levi, the priest would come. And they were the ones that would take care of all the things in the tabernacle and the house and all that stuff. And remember, Moses was a type of Christ. And so God had called Moses out of the tribe of Levi to be the priest to the children of Israel as they came out of bondage from Egypt. God always put a type of himself for the church. Now, at that time, that was the church. That was the body of Christ. That's what God was using and trying to use and trying to bring the children of Israel to a place where they would accept him and he would move, and they saw miracles, signs, and wonders of the miracles of God changing, you know, bitter water to sweet water. God leading them by a pillar of fire at night to keep them warm and a cloud by day. I know what he means now by the cloud by day. With this heat, when the clouds come in, you love the wind. You don't like the rain, but you like the wind. And you like the way it just brings a covering. And what God was doing, God was covering the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt, covering them and helping them throughout their day, feeding them, giving them water, just supplying for them because that was his people. Today, we are his people. God will supply. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to worry about next week or next year. You know, there's nothing wrong with planning things, retirement planning things. There's nothing wrong in those areas. But God is in control, and God will take care of us. God will do whatever it takes to make sure we have what we need and even what we want and sometimes even what we desire if it's according to his word. We trust in a God who can supply and a God that can give what we need to us. And God had chosen, as we know, Moses. And he, you know, helped bring the children of Israel out and did a great and mighty work within Moses' life. But Moses wasn't always what we know him as, you know. Moses, God had to do a lot of work in him, in helping to bring him to a place where he could be the leader that God desired and wanted him to be. Look at this. Look at Exodus chapter 2. Look at verse 11 and 12. It says, "And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." You know, God had chosen Moses to be the leader of his people. And we know God had to do a mighty work just as he has to do a mighty work in us. You know, when we got saved, that was the start of a mighty work in us. And we know to the day, till today, God is continuing to work and to take out and to put in, making us, trying to make us like his son, Jesus. Not that we are a God at all. There's only one Savior. But that trying to mold us and make us into who he is. That we think like him. That we act like him. That we give like him. We do those things. And Moses, you know, probably knew at a certain time that he was probably called of God to do certain things. Because he says he went out in verse 11 and he saw something happening to his brethren. That means the Hebrews. So obviously he knew that he had Hebrew in him. And it says that he saw this Egyptian. And he was just beating this man. Now, we don't know why. It doesn't say. Whatever. But he was just beating him basically to death. And it says that Moses saw from a distance. He saw the situation. And he saw what was going on. And so, you know, he looked a while and he saw him beating him. And he said, "Oh, I got to do something." And Moses made some mistakes. And he looked to the left to see if anybody was looking. Then he looked to the right to see if anybody was looking. And he assessed in his mind and what he could see that no one was looking around about him. That no one could see what was going on and what he was about to do. And it says that he went up to the Egyptian and he killed him because he was beating his brother or his brethren. And it says that he took him and he buried him in sand. And we know that sand will wash away after a while. Will blow away, wash away with water and whatever. And the body was exposed. And people knew, or they had two eyes, or whoever saw what happened. Now, you might say, "Well, Pastor, what are you trying to get at?" When things are happening in our lives, and we come across situations, no matter what, no matter if it's the devil coming, throwing something at us, no matter if it's people coming after, no matter what's going on in our lives, we can either look to the left and see what's going on, or we can look to the right and see what's going on, or we should do what Moses should have done, was look up. When the devil's going to tempt you tomorrow or today to do something evil, any temptation's evil. Temptation's nothing. Let me say something about that. Temptation comes from the enemy. When you are tempted of the enemy to do something not right, you have not sinned. Temptation is not a sin. The devil will try to make the church believe, well, when the devil comes after me and I'm tempted to do something, and just because it's thrown in my mind and I'm thinking of it, well, it's a sin. No. Sin comes about when you act upon what the enemy has thrown into your mind, or you let that regurgitate in your mind over and over and over and over, then it falls to the heart, then you act upon it. See? So when temptation comes from the enemy, for whatever it is, to do something illegally, to take something illegally, whatever it may be, to talk evil about somebody, even though we may have a right. I have to change that to we. Always try to put myself in there. We got to remember, when things come our way, and when things come to tempt us and to come and to destroy us, that we look up. Would the story be different? I know it would be. If Moses would have looked up and said, God, what do you want me to do? Because you see, Moses was a very powerful man in the kingdom of Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. I mean, he was up there. He wasn't no peon in the Egyptian army. I mean, this guy, you know, he built buildings, you know, pyramids, and did all kinds of stuff. You know, and it's a miracle how he got there. We all know basically the story. But just think, if he would have looked out and said, looked up and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord would have spoken to him and told him. And maybe he would have went out there with not so much anger and could have separated things and took control of that situation. But, you know, you said, well, Pastor, God used it. Well, God knew what he would do. You see, God knew he would kill him and he'd flee for his life. And he'd end up in another land, where God can work in him and through him. But you see, sometimes, look at this. Sometimes the pattern that God is trying to work in our life is like this. He's working in us. But because of certain decisions we make here or there, God has to divert certain things to bring us back to the pattern of what he wants. So instead of our lives being like this, from the beginning, our lives, and I can say probably every one of us is an image. Yeah. Then we hit the wall. Then we go to, and God says, oh, no. Job, come back to your first love. Job, come back. And we have to stay on that pattern. See, God called Moses to be the leader of the children of Israel when he was born. God called Moses to be the leader of the children of Israel when his mother made that little ark and put some kind of slime stuff around it to keep it from sinking. He was called to be the leader of the children of Israel. He was called to be the leader of the children of Israel when he killed that Egyptian. He was called to be the leader of the children of Israel when he was in another land. Another land. Can you imagine what was going through his mind when he knew that God had called him, but he was so far away and he thought there was no hope? And let me tell you, that's a life that is undesirable when we're living and there's no hope. But let me tell you this, God gives hope. And God gives second chances. And God gives third chances. And let me tell you, you might have come and hit this wall many a times. Learn from it. Don't keep hitting the wall. Get back up and get back on track. And saying, I will not divert from this plain truth of what the gospel has taught me and what God has given me. And to stay on this track and never look to the left or to to the right, but look up. Look up. As Peter was walking on the water, God said, come out of that boat. Peter, you're challenging me. And Peter steps out that boat and he starts to walk. And look, he's walking on water, people. He got in trouble when he looked to the left and he looked to the right. And that's a physical thing. And when he got his eyes off of looking down to where Mark was, that's when he got in trouble. People, our trouble comes. Now, hey, and I kind of have to, trouble comes no matter what. You see, we have to realize this. Just because we are Christians doesn't mean that we're secluded from trouble. But because you see, the devil wants to bring trouble in your life. He wants to bring trouble in your life. He wants to see you look to the left and to the right, and your faith goes down. Your faith starts to sway in the God that can do the impossible. And there's no way you can go the right direction when you're constantly looking this way or that way. There's no way. So what you do is you look to the God of the King of Israel. And no matter what rises up on the left or the right, you keep your eyes upon him. No matter what you hear, no matter the roaring lion that you hear, because that's the devil, roaring as a lion, that doesn't mean he is one. But he tries to make himself look that he's bigger than what he is. He's nothing to us. Well, nothing to the God we serve. He's huge to us as individuals. And he can destroy us. But let me tell you, when we walk in the footsteps of our God and we stay anchored in who he is and we look to the blood of Jesus Christ and what he can do, there's nothing that can sway you from the foundation that God has placed underneath you. There's no way possible that the devil can destroy you and I. No way. It's a sure foundation. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We serve a mighty God, and there's no one like him. Yes, things may rise up, like as Job, they rose up. But let me tell you, we know our God is in control. Our God is in control of our lives individually. Our God is in control of our lives as a family. Our God is in control of our lives as a church. Our God is in control of our lives as a country. Our God is in control of our lives as a world. That's the kind of God we serve. And let me tell you, God is looking for a people that are separated unto him. I'm not talking about a religious thing. I'm talking about a relationship to him that are separated and know the voice of God. That he will lead and guide us. And when the waters of the Spirit of the Lord are stirred up, that we follow what God wants us to do. God is looking for a people that will humble themselves before him and say, Father, your will be done. Your will be done, no matter what it is, Lord. I'll take on the cause of Christ and see what God can do. See what God can do. Remember last week as the waters were stirred, as I talked on prayer? Humble yourselves, people. Get here. Get here. Either we're moved by the Spirit of God or we move by self. This is the, we want the Spirit of God to move, but we're not willing to pay the price. And you know, remember on this subject, you remember in the Bible, the pools of Bethesda and all that, they talk about it in the scriptures. And they talk about how the angel would come and stir up the waters. And the first person that would get in was what? 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 Healed. I heard, and I want you to say it too. So when the start, when it was stirred up, the first person that got in, what happened? Healed. Why? Because when God stirs the waters, that's when you say, now people move. People, God is stirring up the waters. We better move. And if we don't move, you'll get a people that will move. Come on, people, we need to shake the things of the world off and say, I hate them. You see, what it is, myself included, we love the things of the world. We really do. Now, there's nothing, I'm not talking about air conditioners. We love air conditioners. We love vehicles with air conditioners. Houses with air conditioners. We should not love the world nor the things of the world. Because most of the time it's evil. We need to love Him. And you'll find the more you love Him and the more you fall in love with Him, those things of the world won't matter to you. Just won't matter. When the waters are stirred, people, we need to get in that water and have the Spirit of God move. Get in the water and let the Spirit of God move. Because let me tell you, blessings are where the Spirit of God moves. Blessings. Put up that scripture in 1 Peter, is it? We need to let God be God in us. Look at this. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Keep that scripture up there. Here we see God says, and it's an amazing thing how God knows how to put the scripture together. We know that, but He says is humble yourselves first. Humble ourselves before God. God didn't say make yourself perfect. That's religion. God says humble yourself. Bow yourself before the King spiritually. I'm Lord. I humble myself. That's the person He can use. See, God doesn't like a prideful spirit that says that you're better than the next person down the road. Now, God has done mighty things in our lives, and we want to share it because it lifts up our God. But to humbly come before Him and yield ourselves before Him, God can use that person. Then it says, now it doesn't say humble ourselves to man. What does it say? Humble ourselves under the what? The mighty hand of God. That means God. God is saying this, humble yourselves before me. That means giving everything we have to Him and saying, Lord, it's at your exposure. What do you want to do? Lord, myself, we draw a circle and we put ourselves in it. And that means everything we have, Lord. I humble myself before you, Father. And letting the Spirit of God move under Him. Because if we humble ourselves under God, we will be able to humble ourselves before man. But if we humble ourselves before man first, we'll never be able to humble ourselves before God. When God says, humble yourselves before me, under my mighty hand. Then it says, that He may exalt you in due time. My God. It's an amazing thing that it says, He will exalt you. You might say, well, what does that mean? That means, look, He'll use you. He'll use you to pray for people. He'll use you to bring healing to people because He'll have you pray with them. He'll use you to bless people financially. He'll use you as you're sleeping, give you a dream, and you wake up and you say, my God, this is a godly dream. I know it. Lord, help me. Help me to get this thing done, Father. I mean, mightily moving, because He's lifting you up. And He'll even lift you up before men. Because they'll say, my God, look, the hand of God is upon him. Just as Moses, when he came in to Pharaoh, and he said, let my people go. Talking about God's people. Oh, Pharaoh looked at him and like, get out of my face. Really? And then the plague started coming. And the last one was what? The firstborn of every house would die. And let me tell you, he let them go. And he went after him, but he let him go. You were exalted. And it says, but cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. How much we need to cast it to him. As we humble ourselves before our God, under the mighty hand of God, he exalts us. We cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. Man, let me tell you, when you go before God in the morning or at night, whenever you pray, say, Father, after you exalt him and you praise him, remember, you go to the Father through Jesus. Okay? You go to the Father through the name of Jesus. And then you say, Father, your word says, look, you want to get a God excited? You need to say, Father, your word says, cast all my cares upon you because you care for me. Look, he's attentive to the cries of his people. He listens to his people. Because he's saying, they know my word. Which means we know Jesus, because Jesus is the word. And let me tell you, that makes the Father move by the Holy Spirit upon our hearts and upon our lives to get the job done. And look, cast it for you. Say, Father, your word says for us to cast all our cares upon you. Lord, you know I'm having trouble in this area of my life. And you tell him, because he knows already. He knows. He knows what tempts us. He knows what we go through. He knows. Why not tell him? Just let him know. And you say, Father, I put my trust in the cross of Calvary and what you did at Calvary's cross for your son. And Lord, I receive your grace and your mercy from that. And Lord God, I cast all my cares upon you. Because you care for me. And look, he takes it and he starts working in our hearts. And when those temptations and that evil comes about, it's like something happens on the inside and on the outside. And God helps us to overcome that thing. And if you do fall, you get on your knees before God and you say, Father, I've fallen again, but I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back to you. And you're going to find out day after day, you're going to get stronger because you're putting your faith in him and what he did at Calvary's cross. Be sober, my God. Be sober. Be vigilant. Sober. Sober and vigilant can be, you know, we should not let things just roll through our minds. We have to have a sober mind. Keep control of your mind. You might say, oh, Pastor, that's funny. How many people you know of have gone off the deep end because things just roll in their mind and it doesn't stop? And a lot of times it's not even true in the end. Worry, worry, worry. God says, cast all our cares. Cast. 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 Throw it. I mean, just give it to throw it at. Say, Father, it's yours. The devil will try to make you think of all kinds of stuff. That's not going to happen. And it disturbs your peace. The joy of the Lord is your strength, my strength. When there's no joy, there's no strength in the spirit realm. And the devil has defeated you and I. And we cannot allow him to defeat us. Because, you see, he's coming after you. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walketh around seeking whom he may devour. He walks around. I don't want to be in this position, but I'll use it today. I'm the devourer. I'm like the devil. But I'm in it. He's like, I just, that's him. That's him. And he's looking for weak areas. I mean, he knows us. He knows us. He has a tablet of our lives, probably. And he knows weak areas. Oh, he's looking. Zones in. And he goes after that area. We have the word of God that comes to the dividing center. You know why the devil's not cut much? Because there's no word coming in. When that fruitful is coming, and you take out that word, and you start reading it, and you start quoting that word, saying, I'm of a sound mind. I will not worry. I've given all my cares upon the Lord. And you start quoting, God says, cast all my cares upon him because he cares for me. Look, that's the word of God. Just it's like when you stand up, it's like you take that sword out of that sheath. And on Slewfoot's eyes, he says, oh my God, this is a soldier. And you take that word and you start using it. And as that thought comes into your mind that's not good, you take that word. The Bible says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We're quick to anger. And we're quick to speak. I'm going to speak my mind. Oh yeah, okay. Speak your mind. And it gets you in trouble. How many times has the Spirit of God, you're just doing something, and he says, quiet, don't say a word. And somebody comes and starts saying something. And you take that morsel, and you eat upon it, and you spew out what shouldn't be. But if we would have listened to the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God, and that morsel would have came, you didn't say a word, it falls upon deaf ears and it falls to the ground. That's dead. See, we got to learn, people. Let me tell you, if we don't get the Word of God in us and learn the Word of God, we'll never be able to defeat the enemy like he wants us, like God wants us to defeat him. Even though he's already defeated. Already defeated. It's not like we're looking and saying, well, he may be defeated. He's already defeated by the blood of Jesus. He's already got an eviction notice on the earth because he's been defeated. But God is waiting on us to take up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God that he's given us, to cut it up. Seeking whom he may devour. Don't be one that takes the bait and lets him look into your eyes. And you might say, well, what if I do? But this is what you do. You get on your knees and you call upon God and you say, Father, forgive me and sharpen my sword. Oh, the devil, this is what he wants. You see, everybody has a sword. It's just some are sharper than others. You know, you have a knife that's dull. What is it really good for? Or a shovel that's dull. What is it good for? You know? It doesn't do much. But you take a shovel that is sharp, or a knife that is sharp, or a sword that is sharp, what can it do? It can cut. And that's what God wants. And every time you take out that word in the morning, or you take out that word at noontime, or you take out that word at night, whatever, it becomes alive to us. And it sharpens one side of your sword, and it sharpens the other side of that sword, so that you can do what God wants you to do. In Exodus chapter 3, something happened. It says, Moses, when he thought it was all hopeless, God met him. And what happened? It says Moses was doing this, his daily chore of doing things. He knew he was called to be the leader, but he lost all hope. And all of a sudden, he looked, and he saw a bush was burning. And he said, oh, okay. I mean, that was normal back then, because it was so hot. I'm surprised we haven't seen trees burst into flames of fire yet. Honestly, though, yesterday, as I was walking, I thought my shoes were going to melt. It was so hot. I mean, it just so hot. It was like, oh, Lord. Then after a while, they went and consumed it upon his eye. And he went up to that bush. And the Lord said, take off your shoe. The big tears started to come down Moses' face. He was thinking, the King of Kings has not forgotten. Even though I did him wrong. He said, take off your shoes. I need to speak. And you hear all kind of stuff about the shoes and whatever it is. If God says take them off, you take them off. Took off his shoes. Out of obedience, he did it right. He didn't say, well, Lord, I don't think I should take them off. I don't want to dirty my feet. He said, Lord, at your will, take them off. And the Lord started to move upon his life. There's always hope in Christ. Always. I'd say, well, Pastor, I think I may have done too much wrong. Now, call upon him. And he says, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Call upon him. That burning bush. It was just a bush that was burning, but the Spirit of God was in it. And God, the Father, started to speak to Moses, giving him a new vision, a new dream, and saying, I've called you. I've called you. I've called you. God has called each and every one of us to do his will. Yet, when that pool of Bethesda started to move, the first one in got healed. The Spirit of God is moving in this place. You need to let God use you. You need to let God use you. You need to let God use you. We need a mighty visitation from the Holy Spirit, people. We do. I want to see God move like never before, but I can't do it all myself. Can't. I need your help. I need your help. Not that I just want it, but I need your help. Of enforcing the power of God and letting God use you. You know, I can only feed a few, if you want to say horses or cows, you know, just in the natural. Only one person can do a few troughs. But you take 30 people, they can do a whole lot more. I want to encourage you to keep on course, keep on fighting. Keep on doing what God wants you to do. And let the Spirit of God move in your heart and mind. You may stand, please. I know I went over just a few minutes. Thank you for being patient and kind. Praise God. Praise God. As every head is bowed, if you don't mind, just a minute. I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't and you'd like to do so, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? Maybe you're serving him, but you know he's saying, Pastor, I need to recommit my life to him. If you'd like to do that, would you please raise your hand? In your hand. Thank you. Back there. Anyone else? Anyone else? And let's pray because there is one that raised their hand. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead. And you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe you died on the cross. And I accept you as the Lord of my life. Lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name we pray.